Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Granite City, Illinois, and earned a bachelor's degree in engineering management from the University of Missouri. For 14 years, he founded and ran North American Computer, a computer equipment and leasing company. In 2010, he and his wife... I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Larry Johnson, Executive Director of Life Builders. Larry, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thanks so much. It's a real honor to be here.
As we start a new year, can you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Yes. Well, thank you, Jack. Lord, we just come before you this year as we look forward to all that you're going to do, and we just surrender ourselves to you as a nation, as a state, and as a city to what you would have for us. We just give ourselves to you. Have your way in us. To you be the glory and honor. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we start, Larry, by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood, please?
Well, thank you, Jack. Yes, I grew up in Granite City, Illinois, which is across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. It's a steel mill town, and in its heyday, there were four steel mills operating, had a population of about 40,000. My father worked in construction. He worked about half the year, depending upon how the weather was. My mother, as it got closer to me going to college, she got a job as a checkout clerk at a local grocery store. Actually, the grocery store was owned by my cousin, Bill Kozak. So that's a little bit about my mother and father. My dad, later on, to have a little more stability with his work, he then took a job as a school custodian working in the local high schools. So that's where I grew up.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, I learned something from both of them that they instilled in me, and that is working hard. They set an example of just, you know, when you've given an opportunity to work, show up for work, work hard, and just let everything else take care of itself. And I think I picked that up at a very early age. I had a lot of different jobs, from carrying newspapers to washing and waxing cars, to working in factories, to cutting lawns and shoveling snow, and working in the grocery stores, etc. And I think it really developed a real work ethic very early in age.
In 1978, you started a computer business. With that upbringing, how did you ever do that?
Boy, Jack, that's a very good question. I had a dream, and I don't know where it came from in those days. I had a dream that I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to make a lot of money and wanted to be successful. And so I went to college, got a degree. And as I was graduating, I was glad that I had decided to do something other than get a degree in electrical engineering, which is originally what I'd gone to school for. Because I was doing so poorly in school, I transferred into a new program, which was called engineering management. So I graduated with that degree at a time when there was some demand for people in technical sales. So I took a job with RCA, the mainframe computer business, back in 1970. Those early years, from RCA to Honeywell to storage technology, etc., I learned, I found that, you know, God had really gifted me building relationships and gave me some skills in marketing. So after about 8 years working for other companies, really saw this window of opportunity to enter, you know, an emerging industry, which was the computer sales and leasing industry. And I had a large number of accounts, people who really respected the work that I'd done for them for years. So in 1978, I formed North American Computer Equipment.
What were the biggest keys, the biggest ingredients to your success at North American Computer?
It was all about relationships. In our business, in our industry, the majority of people who were in our industry did their business over the telephone. It was all price-oriented, and whoever had the best price got the business. I viewed it differently. I felt that it was important to understand our customers' needs and to provide them some flexibility in their decisions and in their leases, and to just be there, you know, with them through thick and thin.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Larry Johnson. Larry, it's 1992. You're 44 and healthy, financially set for life. You're living in Grosse Pointe. You have it all, the American dream. What was Maryland and your lives like?
Well, Jack, it truly was everything that we thought life was all about. Everything that we ever dreamed about, that we thought we could have and do, we were able to do it. We had a home in Florida on an island. We had our home back here. We could come and go as we pleased. We, you know, we were active in churches both here locally and down there. We were doing Bible studies in our home, at a beach club. We were serving on boards of various Christian organizations, thinking all along that this was going to be our life from this point forward, thinking that, you know, this was it and this was okay. It was rich. We could, I mean, really do just about anything we wanted to do anytime.
And then one day, Marilyn comes home from golf and you asked her how her game was.
Well, I can remember that day as if it was yesterday. The perfect life. She's out golfing with her lady friends on a golf course off the island. And I had come home after fishing with the guide I'd had for a couple years. You know, having been a fisherman as a kid, having the opportunity finally, you know, in my early 40s, to go and catch every kind of fish and every kind of tackle you could ever imagine and have a local guide just take you everywhere and teach you everything. It was like a dream. So she comes home and we're sitting on the porch overlooking this little lake. We had this house across from the Gulf of Mexico. And I said, so how was your golf game? Well, she starts, tears are running down her eyes, and she says, I have no purpose in life. And she was expressing what was going on with me as well. Although we had all these things that everybody would just look forward to in their life to be able to do, we both felt that we didn't have any real purpose. Like Augustine, St. Augustine says, he says that God has made us for him, and our soul or our heart is forever restless until it finds its rest in him. And not that we weren't doing things meaningful, but we really had so much more we felt. And it was just identified there.
And then you get involved with Life Builders, you and Marilyn. Tell us about Life Builders.
Well, while we had come back to Michigan and we were serving in local missions, one day we came home from serving a Thanksgiving dinner. And Marilyn says to me, what happens to all the folks tomorrow and the next day and after the first of the year? And I sort of knew at that point in time when she started thinking about this and then the two of us start talking about it a lot, I thought, you know, we're about to take off here and try to solve a problem. And that's exactly what happened. We just kept talking about it. We were restless. We couldn't sleep over it. And we finally decided, you know what, somebody needs to do something about the rest of the year. You know, when people need somebody to encourage them in relationships, to help them in life, to provide them opportunities, etc. And we decided we were going to buy that first house. And when people came out of transitional housing after going through drug treatment, that we were going to be the people that were going to provide the encouragement and relationships to help them get on their feet. So that's exactly what we did.
And this is Regent Park Community, which is bordered Gratiot, and then you go east to Kelly, 8 miles south to 7 Mile. Tell us about 48205.
Well, one of the first things we did is we bought a building thanks to a local foundation who helped us, and we opened up there in 2006, and we started ministering to people in the community. Well, little did we know once we got there that right around the corner there was this total devastation. I mean, drug houses and gun sales and just abandonment, foreclosures. I mean, it was very depressing. So we sort of looked at each other and we said, you know what? If nobody else is going to do anything about this, you know, maybe we should. So as we were able, with each house that we could acquire through tax sales or whatever, we bought each house that we could, and that we would fix it up, and then we'd look for good families to move into these homes. Well, and as you know now, Jack, we now have 30 homes. We have two apartment buildings. We bought the school in the community, and we are feel very blessed in now that all that negativism that was moving in our direction towards Kelly and 8 Mile Road that was coming from the southwest.
This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, and we're with Larry Johnson. In 2010, he and his wife, Marilyn, moved from Grosse Pointe to the big 48205, once designated as Detroit's most deadly zip code, and that's where they now live. Larry, about a month ago, I met you. You get me in your vehicle, and we're driving along, and I'm looking for all of these awful neighborhoods like in Brightmoor, and the homes are pretty good. And I say, Larry, I don't see these burned-out homes. And then you just turn the corner, and wow, deja vu, Brightmoor. Tell us a little bit more about the community.
Well, Jack, your comments as we were riding along in the community after getting past those first three or four blocks off of Kelly Road are comments that we often hear when people come to take a tour of the community. Those first three or four blocks are the blocks that we tackled when we first came into the community. We went after those, you know, with all we had, every available home. We stretched ourselves as, you know, beyond what perhaps we even should have done financially, because we used a lot of our own funding to help advance our mission. And but now we have seen, you know, that it has paid off by continuing that momentum and now having that strong foundation in those first few blocks. Because as you saw, there is much work yet to be done. But I'm thankful that now, since we've gotten some recognition for the work that we've done over the past 10 years, all of a sudden, as a result of the University of Michigan study, the Detroit Land Bank, and others coming out to our neighborhood, all of a sudden, you know, they're saying to us, we want to help. Because I remember the first comments when they come out, they would say, how'd you do all this without any, no help from the city, no help from the state, no help from the county? How'd you do all this? And all I would tell them when they came out, I said, you know what? You know, this is God's people doing God's work here in the community. And that's exactly how we got as far as we have.
It's 2009, and one day you pull up to the corner of Boulder Street and East Burn Street to make a pastoral call. What happened?
Well, that's one story that I will long remember, because it was a real turning point, almost like a test I felt perhaps had that day. I did. It was a pastoral call to come and call on a family, and maybe it was to remind them about our programs coming up and just to visit with them, encourage them, pray for them, pray over them, etc. So I get there and I pulled my car up, and there was lots of language and a lot of conversation going on from across the street, from a car in the middle of the street, and the house I was at. So as I was standing there at the house, one of the young men said to me, he said, you better get out of here. And I said, why? He said, you don't need to be here. He said, you better go. So I decided maybe he's right, because it was really getting heated. They were out of the car, and this is how things happen. Somebody pulls a gun, and before you know it, somebody shot, and this is how heated it was getting. So I went out, I sat in my truck, and I started to turn the truck on, and I had one of those moments where I really felt that it was a turning point. I just asked myself, what are you here for? Are you here for the first time that something happens? You're going to run away from this, or did you come to bring peace here in the community? So I will admit, I was afraid, but I took the key out of the ignition, I got out of the truck, and I walked right over in the middle of all this. And I can't explain what happened, why it died down, why it was dismissed, whatever, and everybody went back their way and in their house and in the car and whatever, you know, but it did. And I walked back over in the yard, the family that I came to visit, and two of the guys were standing there, and we were having a barbecue up at Life Builders at the time. And I remember saying to the two guys, I said, you guys want to come up to the barbecue? And they said, only if we can get something to go. And I said, well, come on, get in. You can get something to go. So we drove up to Life Builders. They grabbed a plate of food, and we sat down, and we talked for an hour with them. To me, that was an example of how people are looking just to be loved, cared for, and heard.
You made a lot of crazy statements when you and I were together for those few hours a month ago. Maybe the craziest was, and I quote you, even criminals want and hope for something better for their children, nephews, and nieces.
I do remember that. And I remember the day that I was walking from Life Builders, which is three doors down from our house. And I was walking home towards the end of the day. And this car pulls up right in front of really our house at the intersection. And it's spinner wheels, dark windows, whatever. The window goes down, and I thought, this is it. The window comes down. You know, the guy in the car had the chain on, the hat turned sideways and whatever. And he looks at me, and he has thumbs up, and he goes, way to go, Larry. You're doing great work here in the community. And about all I could think of is I was just thankful that it didn't wet my pants. And he drove off, and I thought, even the people who are in the community that might not be doing any good right now, they see the good in good, and maybe they have a hope.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're with Larry Johnson as we begin another year. Larry, in November of 14, you buy the former Tracy McGregor Elementary School for $30,000. You're spending $1 million to renovate it into a community center. Tell us about that.
Well, Jack, for close to 2 years, we were negotiating with DPS to buy that school. And I finally bought it in late 2014. We have a master plan to convert that into a community center, which will be the future epicenter of the community. And the excitement, the buzz that that's created in the community, and the attention that is brought to our work, the added dimension and real differentiator in terms of a redevelopment strategy when the city and the county look at this along with, you know, the major housing or residential housing work we're doing. They're saying we have a really unique model here. So we're very excited about it. We've raised our first round of financing so that we can hopefully even get part of the building open, you know, as early as August of next year. So we're very excited about it. It's a whole city block, and that whole block is coming alive with sports programs, and soon we'll be inside, and we'll finally have the capacity we need to meet all the needs in the community.
Pope Francis has famously said, "Who am I to judge?" Larry Johnson, you don't judge people. Why not?
I feel the same way he does, Jack. I mean, really, who am I to judge? I mean, I don't understand people's situation in life that has brought them to the circumstances that they may find themselves in. There may be something going on in a person's life, and God may be using them in their circumstances far beyond I may be being used. You know, there's an old saying that be careful that you're you may be entertaining angels unaware. Well, you know, sometimes when I meet with, you know, our residents and community, and I will go into their homes and I'll spend some time with them, I really feel like I'm the recipient of the love and an example, you know, which helps me carry on the work that God's called me to be. When I see the resilience and persistence, the fact that people are still standing beyond absolutely unbelievable circumstances, I walk away and say, yes, I can do my part. And I know Marilyn feels the same way.
Speaking of being used by God, if there's a listener this evening that says, I admire the two of you, I marvel at you, and as we start a new year, Larry, can I make a difference?
Everybody can make a difference. If God can use me, he can take me and pluck me out and Marilyn of the situation that we were in and decide to use us in some way, he can use everybody. You know, there are opportunities all over the city, and we have them. There are on-ramps to serve in almost any capacity, in any area that a person might be gifted, you know, to come and serve and to make a difference. And Jack, I'm convinced if everybody just did a small part, we would see the restoration of our city come about in a much, much faster way. I believe that in my heart.
You guys, you and Marilyn, have been a shining example of letting go and letting God. Talk to us about letting go and letting God.
I've been many times taken by a comment that Mother Teresa made. Marilyn and I often in the morning, you know, we will pray this together. And she said this, because as you know, in the later years of her life, she could be meeting with the President of the United States, or she could be with wherever she might be in some prestigious place, or she could be picking someone off the streets of Calcutta. And she said in front of the camera that day that so struck me, she said, I get up in the morning and I say this, Lord, whatever you have for me today is just fine. And Marilyn and I try to live that out each day, because by the nature of our work, Christian community development, holistic ministry, if you will, you never know what your day is going to be like. You can plan it out all you want, and you may get a phone call, you may meet somebody on the street, and I think it's our calling to not be so structured in our planning for the day. We have to be here, we have to do this, we have to be here for this, and we have to be available to meet people's needs. Otherwise, we might as well pack everything up and go back to Grosse Pointe.
Some people would say, Larry, what you've achieved these 10 years, you and Marilyn and the rest of your team and the community itself, is a drop in the bucket. I quote you now, you say, we are winning and we will win this battle.
Jack, we believe that. There is no doubt that we are going to win this battle in our community. You know what? I'll tell you why.